Good evening, everybody. It's 6 o'clock. I welcome you to the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, August 6th, 2019. I now call this meeting to order. We have a roll call, please.
Chair Martin?
Here.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Here.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Here.
Commissioner Montes?
Here.
And Commissioner Sage?
Here.
We can all please rise and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts here today, does anybody on the commission wish to review the agenda or make any revisions?
No, thank you.
Seeing none, we'll move on. At this point, this is the public comment period that we traditionally have at the beginning of each of our meetings. It's an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, and comments on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And the Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking any formal action on matters not published on this agenda. And we also request that public comment be limited to 3 minutes and accompanied by the voluntary submittal or speaker slip. Anyone in the community out there in tonight that would like to speak on an item that is not on our agenda tonight? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. Any written communication, any additional correspondence that we need to be made aware of?
None this evening.
Very good, thank you. We have one item on the consent agenda. It's the consideration of approval of minutes. I am confident that my fellow members on the commission have reviewed the minutes of the July 16th regular planning commission meeting. I will entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move.
A second.
A motion and a second for the approval of the minutes of the July 16th regular planning commission meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? We'll go on to the public hearing items. We have two items tonight. First one is item 8A, consideration of a planned sign program 19001, revision to a planned signed program 18-002 for tenant wall signage and the 32-foot tall freeway sign at 1570 West Branch Street. I am the property manager for a portion of that commercial project, and at this point will need to recuse myself from any kind of conversation or deliberation on this item. Mr. Shiro.
Thank you. I'll give you a second to... Are you going to go sit back in that cubicle?
I'm going to go hide.
All right, Mr. Downing, we have a staff report, please.
Good evening, Vice Chair Shiro, members of the Commission. Matt Downing, your planning manager. Tonight, you're considering Plan Sign Program 19-001. So where are we talking about? Here's the project site outlined. It's the home of the former Kmart store, zoned regional commercial, located at 1570 West Branch Street. In the Oak Park Plaza. So the entire plaza is outlined in this image in white, or outlined in black and filled in with white. Surrounding land uses of the shopping center include commercial land uses, a restaurant, hotel, and open space. Now, some background about this project. A plan sign program 18-002 was approved in February of this year. That set up the criteria by which we review tenant wall signage. It also approved a 20-foot tall freeway sign located out here by this front entrance near the roadway. Then in April, this commission reviewed and approved amended conditional use permit 19-001. It further subdivided the former Kmart space into six tenants, included the entitlement of a freestanding drive-through building up in the middle of the existing parking lot. And all of this was precipitated because of new ownership of that piece of property within that Oak Park Center. Now, having gone through all of that, I'm sure you're asking yourself, why are we looking at this again? It's because we are looking at, now that we have six tenant spaces in there instead of three, how do we divvy up that sign area? How do we get that authorization to occur? And also authorizing the request to authorize a 32-foot-tall freeway sign with tenant display. The 32-foot-tall comes out of the previous February meeting where a member of the public got up, given that there is a freeway sign in that shopping center on an adjacent property, saying, why don't you just make those two the same height? The applicant's team went away and came back and said, that's a good point, why don't we do that? So that is part of their proposal this evening, increasing that from 20 feet to 32 feet, as well as establishing the criteria by which we'll look at all the other wall signage, the type of signs, the size, the number, and the design. One of the things that we staff also encourage the applicant to include in the sign program in front of you this evening is some criteria for the freestanding drive-through building. There, that way we don't have to come back a third time and take a look at how do we fit all of this into this sign program. So that's in there this evening as well. The sign program proposes for each of the six tenant spaces in the existing commercial building, one wall sign per tenant, internally illuminated with two lines of copy to be proportionally fit into the sign spaces above the entrance. So as we, if you'll recall, with the changing of the tenant spaces and going from the three tenants to the six tenants, we kind of changed where some of those entrances are going to be. So with the sign program the way it is, it sets up clear distinctions of here's how much sign area you can have. It has to fit into this existing sign space above the entrance with specific dimensions of white space around it before you get to the edge of this entrance parapet. So all of that essentially remains the same under this new proposal in terms of how these wall signs are designed. What has changed, as I mentioned, is going from the three tenants to the six tenants, we anticipate an increase in the amount of signage. So in this table, I've totaled basically of wall signs for the existing commercial building, what those primary signs and secondary signs, how big they can be. So the primary signs are those signs that we were talking about. Secondary signs are kind of the services provided. So grocery store has been approved, it might say Spirits, or a hardware store might have a secondary sign that says Keys or something like that. That was a terrible example and I apologize, but those are the two. So in the sign program, it outlines for each of the six tenants how large their primary sign can be and how large their secondary sign can be. You'll note for some of these tenants, like tenant B, where they have a primary sign that's 4270 square feet and then up to 30 square feet. Tenant space E is a better example of that, where you have a total maximum sign amount for that tenant of 70 square feet. Basically, we're balancing how big that primary sign is with how big the secondary sign is. Tenant space B could conceivably have a full 70 square foot primary sign and a full 30 square foot secondary sign, given that the maximum sign area proposed is 100 square feet. One of the other good things that we're seeing with this revised sign program, if you'll recall, one of the tenant spaces in the previous sign program was allowed the primary sign to be up to 100 square feet, which is outside of our municipal code standard of 70. So you'll note that all of the primary signs max out at 70 square feet. There will not be a sign larger than that. And it's all based on your frontage of building. Tenant space F is the one that was located in the rear of the building. That's proposed to be 50 square feet with no secondary sign. One thing that we were asked, how are people going to know that that's back there? Interestingly, during previous reviews of it, one of the things that we've heard from public testimony is most people use their phones to get where they're going now. You don't need signage. My discussions with the applicant, and they can correct me if they've had subsequent conversations, is that tenant space is really going to be filled by somebody who people know they're back there. So in terms of how are people going to get back there, They will know it over time, so staff believes the 50-square-foot limit is appropriate for that tenant space. In total, previous versus existing, you'll note, yeah, we increased that by 150 square feet of sign area. However, as I mentioned, we are reducing the one wall sign from 100 to 70. We're also doubling the amount of tenants that we're getting in this space, and we're not doubling the total amount of sign area. So overall, staff's supportive of the breakdown in terms of total wall sign square footage. Now, the monument sign, as I mentioned, was previously, well, in the beginning was proposed to be 50 feet tall. That was a big sticking point for the Planning Commission, was a big sticking point for the community. The applicant's representatives went back after it was continued when the conditional use permit was first approved, said, okay, what really, how big should this thing be? They came back with 20 feet. 20 feet was more agreeable to the commission and to the public. And as I mentioned, at that time, one of the community members actually said, why don't you match the neighboring monument sign, how tall that one is. That one, they went out and did a survey of it. It's 32 feet tall, so they're proposing to match it at 32 feet. The design of it remains exactly the same as previous. So aged metal finish built upon a horizontal rock pedestal, internally illuminated tenant sign boxes and a project name. The difference here is previously there were only three tenant names on the monument sign, and as you'll see, we've increased that to five of the tenants being represented on that monument sign with the either project name or kind of the major anchor tenant space up above. So this upper sign area would be the 18.06 square feet, and then each of the tenant spaces would be 10 square feet of these internally illuminated sign cabinets. So the previous total was 47.08 square feet. The 0.08 was my estimation based on the graphics. Now in the sign program, it calls out specifically 18.06. So that's actually I made an error there. But overall, kind of what you would anticipate given the increase in number of tenant spaces in there. Now, the freestanding drive-through building has the final design of that has not been approved yet. But the sign program, based on staff's comments or communications with the applicant's representative, let's go ahead and get that in here now. So the sign program proposes four total wall signs for that freestanding building, essentially one being that it's a rectangle, one on each of the sides. Total amount of sign area would be limited to 1.5 square feet per linear foot of frontage. That's very consistent with how we do signage for freestanding commercial buildings throughout the rest of the city. No sign larger than 70 square feet. I think I've already covered that. And a maximum sign area of 200 square feet. So essentially, if whoever goes into that building wants to do all four signs, they can be no larger than 50 square feet each. If they do three, then we can start messing around with how large each of those is. But they have to be internally illuminated channel letters. They have the same wall sign design criteria, so it can't be any closer than a foot to the edge of the building. So they'll be designed the same between the freestanding building as they are with the existing building. It also calls out the incidental and directional signage for the drive-through. So these are things like the small signs say drive-through with an arrow telling you how to enter the drive-through. These are the menu signs that are at the ordering area. So none of those can be larger than 16 square feet. And I already commented on the internally illuminated channel letters. So overall, for a drive-through building, it's very consistent with our existing municipal code standards for drive-throughs. And now here's two tables that are very much overwhelming seeing them up on the big screen, so I do apologize for that. But it does totals, essentially, if you were to maximize each tenant and their total amount of sign area, how much could they have? The one thing that I will say, it does overestimate by by 20 square feet in that we don't know which tenant A through F is going to be on the monument sign. But essentially for each of these tenants, you can see we're in, you know, in the 110 square foot range maximum per tenant space. And then there's the existing or the freestanding drive-through, which we're looking at a little bit over 200 square feet. So comparative to the previous grand total of 488, we're looking at 764. Again, being that it's very, the amount of signage is very consistent with our municipal code standards, staff overall is supportive of the sign program this evening. In terms of advisory committee reviews, the Architecture Review Committee reviewed this project back in July. They were supportive of the sign program as well. They were also supportive of the freeway sign height as it was consistent with the height of the existing monument sign and of the building itself. So the parapets of the existing building are at that 30, 32 feet mark. So they were consistent that way. The ARC did recommend that the property owner tie materials of the drive-through building design into the monument sign so that being that we're using consistent materials between the existing building and the monument sign, tying specifically the drive-through building into the sign would help just make the entire center more cohesive. And I do have the material board of the building here for reference if you want to take a look at that as well. In terms of environmental review, the project was reviewed in accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act, determined to be exempt per section 15301E2 of the CEQA guidelines regarding existing facilities. And then public notification, we sent a notice of public hearing to all property owners within 300 feet, as well as across the freeway as we did before on the previous sign program as directed by the commission. Published in the Tribune and posted at City Hall and on the city's website at the end of July. The agenda and staff report were posted in accordance with the government code, and we received one letter regarding the proposal, which was in your packet. We haven't received additional correspondence. And that concludes staff's presentation. At this time, it's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt the prepared resolution approving the proposed project, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the commission has.
Commissioner Sage, do you have any questions of staff at this time?
I believe I do have one. I noticed on the secondary wall signs, there's a statement that these signs are not restricted in number, but the total area of the secondary signs may not exceed the allowed areas. Do we have any type of a calculation as to per location as to how many signs based on that criteria they could have?
I guess theoretically you could have 31 square foot signs, being that the secondary signs are each limited to 30 square feet. I'm thinking I would defer to the applicant to know if they've thought about that, but I would anticipate somewhere so that they're visible somewhere in the range of probably two at max, so each being 15 square feet or so.
Okay, so we're not, you know, the size is one thing, but the quantity can be somewhat distracting, so I'd like to have a good feel as to how many signs we anticipate seeing.
Yeah, there's not a specific limitation, okay. As you pointed out.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Montes?
Yes, in Exhibit B, page 16, section 3, item 3, it states that, let's see, any cracked or broken surfaces and malfunctioning or damaged portions of a sign shall be repaired or replaced within 30 days. Would that include if the light bulbs or the illumination was out?
That's a great question. To my reading of that, I would think no, just based on the fact that it's talking about any cracked or broken surface. But the malfunctioning portions of the sign could be. I'd defer that to the applicant to see if they have any response to that.
Okay. And then this could be an answer from the applicant as well, but the next item number 4, in the event of a tenant vacancy, the tenant shall remove all wall signs. Do we have a time frame in which that would occur? Or would it stay up until a new business were to occupy that space?
Great question. As it's written, it doesn't. That is something that we've run into in the past where a tenant leaves and we say, who's taking down the signs? And everybody just points at each other. So,
right.
It doesn't currently cover that.
Okay. So perhaps after the applicant has an opportunity to speak to that, I might suggest that we put some more specific language in both of those items. Thank you.
Commissioner Maraviglia?
Yeah, just a little clarification. With the secondary signs, are those required or are those optional?
No, they're not required. They are optional.
So it could be much lower.
Yeah, we could have tenants that go in there that don't have any secondary signs.
That don't want the secondary signs. And then I noticed that the drive-through building is not on that monument sign. Is that plan to happen or?
In my conversations there with the applicant, there's a possibility that they will be up there. That's why it's included
in your chart.
Just in the off chance that they are up there, given that they are closer to the roadway, it might not be the greatest bang for the buck, so to speak.
Right.
But I would defer that to the applicant as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, I have no questions. Commissioner Sage, would you like to ask questions of the applicant?
Other than the one I addressed to staff, I think I'd like to redirect to the applicant.
Okay.
Thank you.
Could the applicant come up and answer just a couple of questions, please?
Good evening, Commission. My name is Pam Ritchie, and I am a planner with RRM Design Group and representing the applicant for the sign program before you. And I had a brief presentation just to indicate we were here, as Matt indicated, back in April for the modification to the use permit to allow the 6 tenant spaces and the freestanding pad building. And at that time, we posed to the commission the question about the acceptability of their 32-foot height, and we heard from the commission that it was acceptable given the existing monument sign to the south that was of a similar height and scale. So we've incorporated, as Matt noted, the 32-foot monument sign in our program, and that program went to the ARC and had unanimous support. So we're requesting the commission's approval tonight. And I thought I would respond to a couple of questions that came up. And in terms of the secondary signs not having a limitation, the feeling was in preparing the sign program that it was unlikely that there would be a tenant that would have probably more than 4 smaller signs to, again, those are ancillary signs explaining different merchandise that might be sold from the beyond the main sign. And then in the same way, the 2 tiers of signage, that's elective too, that a tenant might want just one sign, one row, but they have the option of that secondary row. And the other question related to someone vacating the space and not taking it, there's not any specific time frame for in the sign program, and the applicant would be comfortable with adding 30 days if the commission preferred that language to be inserted there. The leases for individual tenants would ask that the tenants take the signage down immediately anyway, but that would maybe be another way to reinforce that requirement.
Okay, thank you.
And I may be forgetting any other questions that the commission
Pam,
had.
Pam, what about the elimination? What if the light bulb goes out? How soon could we expect that to be changed for one of the signs?
Well, I think it would probably be in the interest of the tenant to have that full illumination. I don't know of any specific time frame
for
that to happen.
That is something that you could put in and add in.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's somewhat of a maintenance type of issue, but if the commission wants some language in there related to that, I don't think that would be objectionable.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now's the time we open up to public comment. Would anybody like to come and speak on this item?
Good evening, Patty Welsh. I saw that the sign got brought down to 20 feet. I like the 20 feet. Once we say that this 32-foot sign can go in, that sets precedence that other locations can then do a 32-foot sign. With now 6 or 5 store labels going up there, we don't have a lot of billboards in the area, and this is, in my opinion, ocular pollution that we're going to be looking at. And now with all these ancillary signs that they can be putting up there, I hate to have things keep being thrown back to ARC or something, because things get lost when they have to go back and forth. So I'd like to see a limit on those signs be put in place tonight if possible. I'm one of the ones, I think the sign is outdated. I use GPS, I use electronics to get places. I don't look for signs. We're Arroyo Grande. What do we have? 2 exits. I mean, it's not hard to really find places here. Let's see, what else did I put? I just think this is going to make us start looking like, nothing against Salinas, but start looking like Salinas. We're a small town. Let's keep the small town atmosphere. Let's keep the signs small. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Seeing no one, I'll close public comment. Commissioner comments. Commissioner Maravilla, would you like to start?
I really don't have any comments at this time, other than I hope that this is the last time we have to revisit this sign program.
Commissioner Montes?
I want to thank Ms. Welsh for showing up tonight and expressing your opinion. And I did read your letter that you submitted. And I think the 32 feet is somewhat tall, but a point was made when we visited this topic in April that the existing sign for, I believe, the quarter deck is 32 feet tall. So, you know, I also think that there's a good point, like if you're looking at that taller sign and then you're looking at this brand new sign for a revamped shopping center and have it kind of be really small in comparison. So so I get your point. I see both sides. And then with respect to this shopping center in particular, it is off of the freeway. So yes, us Arroyo Grande residents, we might know it's there. But if we're trying to capture the traffic from the freeway, they're not going to see those businesses unless they see a taller sign. And historically, that sign has been tall. You know, I remember coming to this area as a child. I lived here since the 90s, but as a child, I used to come and visit. And that shopping center has always had a pretty tall sign and a lot of signage. So I just wanted to say that I do appreciate you coming here, and I see both sides. And I think that that's pretty much it. I'm in support of this. I would like to add some language when it comes time regarding the time frames for the illumination and vacancy signage. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Sage?
Yes, thank you. I guess my first comment is, again, going back to the secondary signs, and it does concern me that we don't have a limit on the number of those, because even based on, say, a maximum four per site, that's potentially 24 secondary signs. To me, that's eye clutter. And so I would like to see that restricted somehow, either through the general plan or for the that's being submitted, or if we're going through individual approvals per business, I'd like to see that managed a little bit better than what we have today. As far as the monument sign, I recently walked the area again, which I've done several times, and the one thing that I did notice is the existing sign that is there at 32 feet is massive. The top of it has a very large square footage for the restaurant there. The subsequent signs below it are also quite heavy and quite massive. And so I tried to visualize having this sign at 20 feet, and it would look completely out of character with what's there. The 32 feet looks, I think, appropriate. And in fact, because we have the six major signages on that monument, that would seem to provide at least a little bit of a weight offset to the other sign that is there. So I think that provides a sense of balance. I think it's appropriate, and it just seems to fit in a lot better from my perspective. That would be actually the only comments I have at this moment.
Okay, thank you. Just Matt, could you roll that picture back up to the monument sign, just to get right in that. This is one of those things where, you know, when I first looked at it, when the 50 foot was proposed, and we're comparing, you know, the height of just the sign from the ground, the first thing that came into my mind looking at where this was compared to where the sign is, the 32 foot sign, it's at a much higher elevation. It's downhill when you get to that road, and so even at 50, I know what the purpose was at 50 feet is maybe we could get somebody before the on-ramp, which I still don't think that would have happened, that you would have had to go past it again and turn around and come back to it. The other thing that I found out was that Kmart originally, when it was thriving, that was the actual off-ramp to the freeway. And when that changed, that affected their business in a negative way. And so this space, as you know, as stewards of our city and our general plan, I mean, one of our guidelines is to make make sure that a space is viable and it doesn't keep going into receivership and bankruptcy and another tenant. And really, you can go back to the history of that whole property, and part of it was that people couldn't find it anymore, because or had to drive past it and then come back to it, which nobody likes to do that. So that I noticed that. So that's why I was, you know, when I saw 20 feet, I went, man, I don't think that's going to really do. Plus the scale, and I have to agree with Commissioner Sage, is that if you pop that down to 20 feet, now your signs are going to have to be so small, or they're going to be almost on the ground when you look at where that major is. You drop that whole thing down, and I think it would look kind of silly. It wouldn't even be a monument sign. It would just be I don't know what you'd call it. It's a whole new type of sign that we haven't seen. So I do agree that the scale of 32 feet is existing. It's going to be the height of that sign is going to be actually a lot lower than a 32-foot sign that's already there. The comment regarding a precedent, you know, this is for this particular property. We are not setting a precedent in our code by approving a 32-foot sign. It has to. We have to take into consideration the freeway, how far it is off the freeway, how many people are looking at that from their, you know, from their living room. So that's why I think one of the reasons, the purpose why we do these one at a time, that a sign program is specific to a property is to me makes a lot of sense, and I think this one's well organized. I do agree that 32 signs, I mean, the one thing that to me would limit that right off the bat is they'd be so small that you couldn't see them. So why would somebody do that? However, people have done crazy things in the past, so I'm not opposed to the language of adding that at all, or adding the number of signs or the other two provisions that Commissioner Montes, as far as fixing the light. But I'm in support of this center and the sign program, and I do agree with Commissioner Maraviglia that I hope that this is the last time. And I do have one note on that. If for some reason they were to split up one of these properties at the last minute, they tenant says, hey, I only really want half, and they go to eight, is there a way that we can do this where it's an over-the-counter thing? Is there some kind of language we can put in that where, as long as it's not exceeding the sign square footage of what we've portioned out, if the number's set up, they don't have to come back to us, or do they have to come back to us?
If it's the will of the commission to build in that flexibility, certainly in somebody's, one of the commissioner's motions, you could basically set up those confines at this time however you'd like. So increases in the number of tenants, so long as the amount of signage stays the same, or only increases by 150 square feet per tenant, you can build that in, and it will be reflected in the sign program, and staff will administer that.
Okay. Just maybe something about it, like a proportional, if a space is split up, that they would share that proportionally, and it would not larger than the current proportions that are within the program.
Certainly, if that's the will of the commission, that would work.
Okay. That's all I have. I would say would entertain a motion.
Chair, prior to making a motion, I'd like to ask staff what kind of wording could we use in order to place some kind of limitation on the quantity of those the secondary signs?
Certainly. So I do have, why don't I start, number one, with the comments that I've heard. So based on concern about illumination, staff would recommend that on page 4 of the sign program, under general sign criteria and guidelines, item number 3, where it reads, any cracked or broken surfaces and malfunctioning or damaged portions of a sign, comma, including illumination, comma, that would be my recommendation to add there. Item number 4, at the end of that first sentence, the tenant shall remove all wall signs within 30 days. I would add within 30 days. And then my recommendation, if it's the will of the commission, and I would double check with the applicant, make sure they're agreeable to it as well. On page 7, item number 6C, where it talks about secondary wall signs, and it says these signs are not restricted in number, but the total area of secondary signs may not exceed the allowed areas contained in Table 1. I would strike that first portion of that sentence and say these signs are restricted to a maximum number of, and then leave it up to the commission if it's 2, if it's 4, whatever you want to do there.
I guess part of what I'm asking is, would you recommend we address it as per location, per tenant, or as a total number for all tenants?
I would do it as a total for all tenants.
In total, okay, excellent, thank you.
Given that tenants may change over time,
right.
And this is a cleaner way to administer the program in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone want to take a stab at it?
Everybody's looking at everybody.
And real quick before the motion, I would recommend discussing that secondary sign limitation with the applicant's representative.
Excellent. Sure. Oh, yes. Okay.
Sure. Could we have the applicant come on up and just give us an idea on where you see with that? Where you sit with that number?
Thank you. I think the conclusion was 4 would
okay. All right.
Be a good threshold.
Seems like if it got any more than that, it'd be so small that you really have trouble seeing them anyways.
I would agree, yeah.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you.
Great.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
That would be 24 then?
That
we're looking at total?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. 24 total, yeah. 6, yeah. Okay.
So just for clarification, then if we're looking at 6C, would that read, these signs are not restricted in number, but the total area of secondary signs may not exceed the 24 total areas allowed in Table 1? Is that what we're looking at?
Staff's recommendation was to reword C to, these signs are limited to a total of blank per tenant.
Right.
and then instead of but, say, and the total area of secondary signs may not exceed the allowed areas contained in Table 1.
Okay, I'm going to take a shot at this.
Go for it.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adopt resolution approving Plan Sign Program 19-002 with added language to Exhibit B, Section 3, Paragraph Item 3, that any cracked or broken surfaces and malfunctioning or damaged portions of a sign, including illumination, shall be repaired or replaced within 30 days. Also including to item 4, in the event of a tenant vacancy, the tenant shall remove all wall signs within 30 days. In addition to Exhibit B, Section 4, Item 6C, the signs are limited to a total of 24, but the total area of secondary signs may not exceed the allowed areas contained in Table 1.
Okay. Very good.
Very good.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I actually think it should be the signs are limited to a total of 4 per tenant.
Okay.
And the total area of secondary signs may not exceed the allowed areas contained in Table 1. I think that's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Add that on to the motion? Or do I have to make my own?
I don't know, Matt. What is the ruling on that?
Technically, we need a second on that motion for discussion.
Okay.
But no.
Okay. I'll go ahead and second that motion, and then now we can discuss.
Okay.
All right.
And then following that, if it's agreeable to the motion maker in the second, that staff supports that language change.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So do we have to make another motion? Okay.
Well, she nodded her head, but...
So just for clarity, does that language change, is that acceptable?
I'm perfectly fine with that. Thank you. Thank you, Jamie.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Is that enough? Any other questions there?
The only other comment I have is it was brought up as to flexibility in future tenants. If you wanted to add that to this as well.
How would staff like to see that, and where in the... in the document, and B, should that be on?
I think that's a standalone condition that future tenant subdivisions can occur at the staff level, given sign areas proportionally split between the tenants.
All right. Can I just say ditto? She can just say ditto.
Ditto.
Yes, please.
All right. We have a motion, a second, and can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Montes?
Yes.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
And Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. And we can invite Chair Martin back in if he hasn't fallen asleep back there. Oh, look at that. He was awake.
Very good. We're going to proceed now to item 8B, consideration of appeal to the Planning Commission, case 19-002, the appeal to a plot plan review of 19-012 for the establishment of a vacation rental at 233 Stagecoach Road. At the request of the appellant, it is recommended that the Planning Commission continue this item to a date certain of August 20th, 2019. Do I have any questions or comments or concerns around that?
No.
I'm not sure if there's someone from the public that was here to speak on that particular item tonight or not.
Who's the appellant?
The appellant, as written here, is David and Joan Andrews. But for just public information, this item 8B will be continued to a date certain of August 20th, 2019. Will be agendized on that particular Planning Commission agenda.
And Chair Martin, staff is going to re-notice that meeting as well.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We do not have any non-public hearing items on tonight's agenda.
And Chair Martin, I'm sorry, I do need a formal motion.
Oh, we need a motion. I will so move. Can we get a second on that?
Second.
Can we just have a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the continuance has been approved. Thank you for my reminder. Again, non-public hearing items on the agenda tonight. And then the notice of administrative decisions, there's just a single one from the Cantrells. Are there any kind of questions to staff on that particular administrative decision? These are published for our information and for the public's information of administrative decisions made by staff.
No.
Not seeing any questions?
I had one.
Okay.
I'm just curious, is that the reduction, is that based on a floodplain because of it being by a creek?
Yes.
All right. That's it.
Okay, any commission communications, any comments that the commissioners would like to make at this point before we adjourn our meeting? Ms. Maravilla? Mr. Shiro, no? Excuse me, Ms. Montez?
No, thank you.
And Mr. Sage?
No, thank you.
I have none myself here tonight. Turn it over to Mr. Downing. Are there any kind of staff communications that need to be shared at this time?
Thank you, Chair Martin, members of the commission. Staff communications this evening, just giving you a preview of kind of our upcoming meeting schedules. So as you took action this evening, we'll continue public hearing on the vacation rental appeal. We are likely to have a second vacation rental appeal that evening as well. And now I'm blanking on what the other item was. However, in we anticipate in the month of September to bring forward preliminary analysis of our current short-term rental ordinance, so that's vacation rentals and homestays, given the last meeting's item and tonight's item and the future item. For reference, we tried to tonight's public hearing on the vacation rental, we tried to pull that from the newspaper. Unfortunately, it was past their deadline, so that's why we had to do tonight's procedure the way we did it. So we do anticipate a status report on kind of where we're at short-term rental wise in terms of numbers, locations, and some discussions on things that we've noticed over the years, including impacts to our rental housing market, and kind of have that discussion. It is coming precipitated by some discussion from the city council level and being brought to the commission as the land use authorities for our city. So we anticipate that in September. One complicating factor of that is September, the third week, your second meeting of September, is the American Planning Association's conference down in Santa Barbara at that same time. So we might have some staff and possibly some commissioners absent. So we might have to adjust schedules accordingly. But I would anticipate it in September or very first meeting in October. Other than that, no further communication.
Good, that's great. That is welcome news. There has been, in my mind, a flurry of activity on vacation rentals and certainly an increased interest from the community on vacation rentals and what's happening. Hopefully we'll be able to see a map or charts or something that will help us grasp the growth of vacation rentals and the impact they have on the community. So looking forward to that presentation. With nothing else on tonight's agenda, tonight's meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.